And now the Hybrid Brokers Realty Show, the realty show that gets down to business. Call your hosts, Joe and Chris, at 866-576-1055. Follow us on Facebook or email the show at hbrshow.com.
Chris, how are you about games? You like games?
I love games.
Like any kind of game, all kinds of games, board games, video games, car games in the car. You know, Simon Says, you like games?
Yes. Yes.
Games are interactive. They're a good way to play with everyone. Have you ever played a game? They have a board game version of it, I believe, but it's kind of just an old game you play even when you're kids, called Rather Than.
No, I haven't. Haven't played that
one.
You
never played Rather Than? Like, no. Hey, Chris, would you rather poke yourself in the eye or chop off your finger? You never played that? I mean, that's kind of a gross, you know, kind of an extreme way. You never played that game?
I didn't know it was a game. I thought it was just, you know, when you're a couple of kids making everybody do.
Wasn't that a game?
Dance.
Tag is a game. Kinda, if you're playing a game of tag, all you're doing is touching each other and running around. But you're still playing a game.
Yeah.
But they actually have a board game version of that. They have one where you can, you know, pull out cards and the person has to choose which they would rather do. I'm not exactly sure how it works. I think my family has a copy, but we never really sat down and played it much. Anyways, the game's, you know, it's one of those horrible games to play because you're stuck in a rock and a hard place throughout the entire game. You're like, oh man, you know, I don't want to choose either one. Well, I kind of feel like right now America is playing a giant game of Rather Than because we're told that we've got to choose between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. And we're stuck in this Rather Than. It's like, hey, you want to poke yourself in the eye or you want to chop off your finger?
It's
which
tough.
One? You know, we're kind of in a bad spot no matter which way we go with it. Or at least that's how many Americans feel. You still have people that are passionately for Hillary Clinton, people that are passionately for Donald Trump. I think the majority of us are kind of like, what is going on?
Yes.
And
because both sides are bashing. Nobody knows what to believe. You hear this and that. I just tell the general public, do your due diligence. Think for yourself. Follow the money trail and get validated research.
And after you do all of those things, you'll discover that both of these candidates are horrible people. they're both terrible people. So what do you do then? What do you do after you've done your diligence?
Hillary has kind of a little shoddy track record, and Donald Trump's a psychopath. But, you're right.
Okay. Those are very, very valid opinions, I suppose, you could have. I think the more you dig on either side, there's so much. There feels like there's just no middle ground here. People are very extreme on either side, and our country's kind of stuck in the middle of this wedge here. And it's fierce competition.
Yes.
You know, they're out there. It's hard. I mean, you've got third-party candidates like Gary Johnson popping up, but people are going, you know, do I throw my vote away? Which a lot of people feel like they're throwing their vote away either direction they go.
Yeah.
And it can be tough for a lot of voters. I think we're going to see a pretty low turnout this year.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think people are just, like, giving up. Like, who cares? Whatever happens, happens. But we need to have that mentality. There's no change.
Yeah, and in this kind of climate, we got to find positive things to latch on to.
Always.
This weekend, I got to be a part of something that was really positive. I went out to the 16th annual Sac Valley Meet of Champions for swimming. It's put on by Steffi Jones and her crew out there. This year, I believe they change the venue every 2 years. This year, the venue was in Woodland, California. And it's a really good event.
I've been to Woodland in a while. That's over Cache Creek, right?
Yeah, there's a reason you haven't been to Woodland in
Cache
a while.
Creek.
There's not a whole lot of reason to visit Woodland. Sorry, Woodland, come on.
You drive through a little old town, and it's like three buildings, and then you go nowhere and it's farmland. That's all I remember from
it. It's not quite that small, but there was quite a lot of sunflowers and farms and things like that along the way. But, yeah, Woodland's just kind of up there north of Sacramento, northwest.
It's really not too far away. It's like 45 minutes, right? An hour?
I wouldn't even say it's that far.
Not even that
Maybe.
Far, huh?
Maybe. I don't know.
But it's a totally different world when you get there. It's like, where am I? Some
boonies. But up there, right next to Woodland High, they have the Charles Brook Community Pool.
Pretty nice pool.
It's okay. Yeah. It's okay. Yeah, it's a nice enough pool. It's a nice enough pool. It's much nicer than what we have in Rancho right now, which is nothing.
Yeah.
So I would much rather have their pool than ours.
Take a Doughboy instead of Rancho's pool right now, or plastic, you know, Walmart pool.
Yep. And it's the Meet of Champions is an all-star swim meet that brings together the top rec league swimmers from the greater Sacramento area. Now, we say rec league, but a lot of these kids, they swim year-round. They swim just as the same as you would in a USA swimming league or something of that nature. They're very top, high-level competitors.
Yes.
A lot goes into these meets. And, I mean, these races, I'm watching them. They come down to hundredths of a second. And we're not talking two guys at a hundredth of a second. We're talking about six swimmers so equally matched that it's very, very difficult to determine, you know, within a, I mean, your human error on a timer can just be simply the signal sent from your brain to the time, the actual stopwatch, when you notice that the person has touched
and,
the wall.
And do they have, I'm just curious, in these you know, smaller local events, do they have like the cameras where they can see who touches it first? Like,
well, they Olympics? don't use how a camera system, kind of like in you're thinking about like a photo finish.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it's so close, you know, it could be like a millimeter if someone touches it a split second quicker than.
Yeah, and a lot of track meets now, they use lasers instead of those things. You know, when you break the plane, it'll tell you who done it. But they do they do use photo finishes as well to see how things, you know, who's hitting it at what time. In swim meets, they use touch pads. So they put pads in the water that you can actually swim up and touch. It's funny. Okay. I did not rehearse this at all with Chris, but he brought up a very good point. As positive as an event this is, and my hat goes off to Steffi Jones and the entire crew that put this event together, you're talking about more than 1,000 swimmers, more than 50 teams that come together to compete. It's a lot of organization to put together. But I do
all
have
local or from other states?
Greater Sac Valley.
Okay.
Greater Sac Valley. But I do have a complaint. I have one complaint. You just mentioned all that about the timers. They did not have touch pads at this event. I don't know if that's common. I can't remember because it was more than 2 years ago that we had our Meet of Champions at the Woodland Pool. But I do know the last 2 years out in the Roseville Pool, that's the other venue that hosts
the Meet of Champions. I'm sure that one's a little bit nicer than the Woodland Pool.
Roseville versus Woodland. We're not gonna go there right now. But I think you could go on realestate.com or something and pretty much figure out the difference right there. but anyways, they had the touch pads. And I think... Yeah. Now, in our dual meets, when we're hosting with the Marlins and we're working in these little dual meets, we don't have touch pads. We're using the basic three-timer system. You have three different, you know, you have kind of a fail-safe with the three different timers. So if there's something dramatically different, they can investigate it. I was very shocked to see that they did not have touch pads at a championship meet. I think that at that level of competition, it's necessary to offer the greatest at least, especially with a race, you want to have the most accurate finish. Okay, you don't have the best sound equipment. Fine, you know that's something that's secondary. I'll say another thing about that Woodland Pool. It is not set up for spectators. The bleachers are probably 50 yards away, at least 25 yards away from anything that you can actually see that's going on in the pool. Makes it very difficult to do a lot of those types of things. But again, all of those are secondary. Those aren't important. What's important is the races that are in the pool. And I think that having touch pads in a competition of that level, where you have kids that are very highly dedicated, training all year with big hopes, when you have races coming down to hundredths of a second, literally 1/100th of a second between one swimmer and the next, I think it's necessary to honor their dedication to the sport by having the most up-to-date technology to record their times. That's my only complaint. Other than that, Steffi, good job. Great job with the meet. Like I say, it's amazing. We wanted to have her in here today to tell us about what goes on with these meets, these events, and especially an event of this magnitude, what it takes to actually get something like this together, the number of people that she has to work with, how much delegation. One of my hardest parts in my regular job is delegating. I'm one of those people, I want to do it myself. I want to make sure it gets done right, and delegating can be extremely difficult.
I've gotten a lot better at delegating this last year, 18 months, and it's changed my business.
You've been working on your delegation skills?
Yes, a lot. I'm just putting faith in the team, giving them trust, just, you know, holding them accountable, and I'm leveraging myself, and it's a good thing. So you don't need to be in control all the time, Joe. Trust your fellow.
Well, I'm working on my delegation skills as well. I think that it's very important. And when you're dealing with an event of this magnitude with the Meet of Champions, you know, thousands of swimmers, more than 50 teams, you really, you know, I can only imagine what goes on. So hopefully we will be able to get Steffi in here at a later date to kind of give us an overview. We'll do our monthly, you know, kind of give back where we bring in the youth sports.
Monthly youth sports. Yeah, I always look forward to the monthly youth sports.
Yeah, you know what? And you know what I look forward to? Every month we bring in Peter Tatishi from the Sacramento Metro Chamber.
Oh, I love Peter.
I look forward to it. But you know what? We're going to have him in here in just a minute. We're going to take a short commercial break. And when we come back, we will be joined by the one, the only, Peter Tatishi. All right, right here on Money 105.5.
Hey, Rob.
Hey.
I know I've told you this before, but your kids, they're so amazing.
Thanks for saying that.
You send them to private school, right?
I do send them to private school.
I heard that can be really expensive, though.
Well, it can, but right now you can check out this new website called sactuitions.com where they have tuitions for half price for area private schools.
Well, I'm going to have to check that out. Sactuitions.com?
That's sactuitions.com.
That's amazing. An entire year of private education for half price at sactuitions.com.
Hybrid Brokers Realty has everything you want in a brokerage without the high costs.
They even handle all of your marketing so you can focus on what you do best.
The Hybrid Brokers Realty model is designed to help support the growth of their agents and their community as well.
Hybrid offers revenue sharing and partnership opportunities to their agents while donating a percentage of all income to local charities.
It's time to join with a true local brand. Hybrid Brokers Realty, 916-696-6006. Take advantage of the opportunities waiting for you at wearehbr.com. BRE license number 01977652.
Money 105.5 and money105.5.biz.
Real estate and business, a match made here on the Hybrid Brokers Realty Show. Call Joe and Chris at 866-576-1055. Follow us on Facebook or email the show at hbrshow.com.
We have a huge match of real estate and business here because, Chris, you're a realtor.
Yes.
And Peter, you're all about business.
Every day.
Yeah, I mean, this is the man who says, constantly reminds us that profit is not a four-letter word. It's Peter Tatishi, the president of the Sacramento Metro Chamber. So, Peter, thank you again for joining us. As always, we value the time that we get here with you. And you guys got a lot going on at the Chamber. Last time we talked, how did the – I didn't make it out to the skydiving.
The power lunch, yeah. No, we had a great time out at the skydiving place. On my blanket. But yes, it was a great power lunch out there. We had a really great. We were sold out, so all 50 people were able to be there, and that was about it. So we try to usually get some bigger venues, but that space was can only accommodate 50. But we've got a wonderful referral roundtable next week on August 9th out at Raging Waters. So if you're interested in beating the heat, come on out.
I saw that one. You guys are going to have some snacks, some pastries, and a few drinks out there, and sit poolside and to discuss things.
You know, 8 o'clock in the morning, you know, I'm a former swimmer, so you get me in the pool at 5 and I'm a happy person. But most folks usually like to get a little bit warmer or deeper into the day. But
did you ever compete out at the Meet of Champions?
We didn't have the Meet of Champions, I swam USA.
Yeah,
so
16 years ago is when it started. So
yeah, no, I'm a little bit
older
than
that. We're going to date you a little bit now, Peter.
But no, I swam USA swimming with CCA, so our Meet of Champions was a little bit different than the rec swimmers. But
well, they put on a good show out there, and you guys do a lot of good things down at the Metro. One thing I think is really interesting, there's somebody that's kind of competing with you guys, you and Chris, because you and Chris are two of the guys I know that you guys love Sacramento. I constantly find you guys have nothing but good things to say about Sacramento. Peter, you're an advocate for the city, absolutely. But there's another gentleman here in Sacramento I believe you guys are quite familiar with, and that is Barry Broom.
Yeah, Barry is a great asset for Sacramento. He started with Greater Sacramento Area Economic Council last year, right as I was taking over the Metro Chamber. Phenomenal asset for Sacramento, truly. He's been great. And, you know, the Greater Sacramento, as they've been kind of focused, their mission really is on the attraction piece of getting companies to really look at how do we make Sacramento the place to relocate to. And Barry is just such a smart individual, great economic developer, and knows how truly to make the pitch to say this is why you should come to Sacramento. There's so many great attributes and assets here that that, you know, why pay to be somewhere else when you could have it all right here in Sacramento?
Yeah, I think his pitch is something like, you know, you get the Southern California weather at the Midwest prices, I think is one of the quotes that he had on his thing.
Can't beat that.
Yeah, he's very, very, he's got a really, like you said, a really interesting pitch, a nice angle for businesses. I one of the things I've enjoyed about Sacramento and living here the last 10 years is that because of the centralized location, I don't have to pay exorbitant costs and shovel my driveway to go snowboarding in Tahoe. I can very easily and conveniently get there. Even to stay in a hotel room for the night, fine, I pay it for one night, but my travel time is so minimal. And at the same time, if I feel like it, I can head over to San Francisco and I can enjoy fine dining down along the bay, or, you know, go down to Santa Cruz. It's not very far if I want to go take in some surf or do something like that. It's kind of like a home base. Like, you know, you enjoy the top of Mount Everest, but you're not going to live up at the top. You got to have a base camp. you know, where you can stay and regroup at. I feel like Sacramento is sort of like Northern California's base camp.
Got it. So, I mean, those are all great attributes. Those are things that we've been saying for years. We're close to everything. But, you know, candidly, Sacramento is evolving and changing into a place where we don't have to necessarily leave anymore to find the great restaurants, to find the activities and the ways to engage even outdoors within our six-county region. So we are a destination into ourselves, and I think that's why it's so great to have, you know, a partner in Barry Broom and Greater Sacramento to be able to have, you know, that teaming, where we're focused here at the Metro Chamber on growing and enhancing businesses that are currently here or looking to start up here. He's out there actively saying to those companies that are established, hey, you need to relocate here because you will be surprised at the cost savings, the quality of life, the morale that can happen, and the workforce opportunities if you come to Sacramento. And that's a huge value to have kind of the Chamber and Greater Sacramento working together in really supporting our economic region.
Yeah, so I joke about it. You guys are competing for your love of the Sacramento, I guess, or for competing for who actually enjoys the area more. But you are in a way, not in a way, you are directly cooperating to bring. It's like he's, you know, he's throwing the line out there. He's hooking them, and you're reeling them in. Once they're here, you're like, okay, you know, bring me businesses, and then we'll build them up. We'll show them. Will give them the tools they need to be successful in this area.
It's a true partnership out there. And we see that with all of the economic development entities out in Sacramento. It's not about competition, maybe about who loves Sacramento more, but truly it's about how do we actually support and enhance the region in the right way. And it's through cooperation, it's through partnership and teaming, and we have some great people out there who are really pushing that right now in our region.
And there's a lot of assets to draw upon here. You know, I think we're primed for a really big boom here in Sacramento. Not only the arena, you know, they're putting in the arena that's going to bring a lot of business. That's kind of an obvious one. But, you know, some of the things that they have at the SelectSacramento.com where they talk about the economic development. I mean, we have a 42% millennial working age population in Sacramento. It means we have the workers who understand, who have grown up in the technology, who understand the new technological jobs that are going to be necessary to support your family. Going out and, you know, digging with a shovel all day, that's not realistic anymore. You have to be able to operate the equipment that does that for us.
And that's exactly right. I mean, that equipment takes a lot of certification. And candidly, it pays well if you go into that trade. So.
And even with the certification, I know even like to apply in my place of business, you cannot apply in person. You have to go online and fill out an application. Mm-hmm. We're almost to the point where you have to do your interview over the internet. We're not going to call you in for an interview. You have to record it. You have to have the skills to be able to record yourself and then edit that, send it back to the company. A lot of people, when they think, oh, I'm going to go apply for a job, that's for a labor position at my work. That's to come and do labor. A lot of people don't think, oh, I'm going to go apply for labor, and I have to know how to do video editing in order to go and haul boxes. But in order to even get in the company, it requires that understanding of technology and that understanding of computer systems.
Well, I mean, that is the age that we live in. It's what's happening. I mean, we see a lot of small businesses who, you know, on Amazon Prime Day, they can't always compete with those online sales. And so they have to evolve into looking at how do we do online sales? How do we get engaged in that market? Because the consumer, the customer, is looking for the ease of an online marketplace. And
we Americans invented convenience stores. Come on. We love our convenience.
Absolutely. And, you know, and that's one of the things, you know, again, when we talk about Greater Sacramento attracting, how we can help those businesses that are here is we have, again, and we talk about this every time I'm here, our Small Business Development Center, and we actually have online consultants who are e-commerce consultants who help businesses who are interested in figuring out how they get online. And so we can free service help those folks out.
And one thing I think is very interesting about that, we sit here and we talk about millennials and computers and things like that. I was on the computer earlier, and I was looking through Facebook, and I saw a really interesting little one of those little short films about Colonel Sanders. And it talked about how Colonel Sanders, at the age of 65, was ready to commit suicide. He had felt he had failed so miserably in his life. This is long before he was Colonel Sanders, just the individual. He had a failed marriage, all kinds of things happened in his life, had attempted suicide. Later, when he kind of came out of his, you know, that mode, he went around to his neighbors and sold. He knew how to cook, so he made up some chicken, sold it. The rest is history, you know, right? He died a billionaire. I think it's interesting that sometimes we feel like, you know, we're in a loop just because, oh, I'm not a millennial. If you're out there and you're not a millennial and you feel like, well, I can't catch up. I can't be an entrepreneur. I can't do this. At 65, I'm sure Colonel Sanders, technology had moved. Things had moved differently than when he was a young man. And he was still able to adapt and find a way where he was to build up an empire. And the Metro having resources such as your online education and ways to help entrepreneurs and existing businesses to utilize the technological resources, I think is so valuable. Don't think that just because you've been in business a long time or because you haven't been in business a long time that you can't jump in and utilize these resources and build yourself into one of the great businesses in the area.
And chiming in on the, you know, technological aspect, you pretty much got to adapt and get with the times or you're going to get left behind. And a lot more people are savvy now. A lot of entrepreneurs know that, and they utilize the knowledge from the chamber to, you know, get that education so that they could market correctly. Go on the internet, SEO. We're hiring, like our company, Hybrid. We have a SEO internet guy on payroll, and it's really making our listings and open houses get a lot of, you know, eyeballs on our on all our listings. So it's just the importance that I've implemented in my business and not only – what the chamber offers that it could change the game of a lot of entrepreneurs
every day. And you know, at the end, when we talk about these businesses, everyone has to continue to keep up with what the consumers want. Otherwise, we will go, you know, the way of extinction, and we can't have that as businesses. So we do have to evolve, and that's why there are services out there. And we encourage everyone to go to the, you know, metrochamber.org and look for those services and figure out if you have an idea, if you have a way, because there is no age limit. Millennials are great. I'm technically of that generation, and there are opportunities there. But, you know, you don't have to be. And there, you never know when the right idea will strike you. But what's necessary and what's needed when those ideas strike you is to have the right kind of coach and consultant there working with you to make sure you can bring that to scale. And our SBDC, our Small Business Development Center, is one of the best tools out there to help any business or young or old entrepreneur, if you will, or I should say mature entrepreneur out there to help
old
them get
those mindset.
Ideas. That's right. So I feel old all the time, let me tell you. My three little kids are keeping me busy quite a bit. So
kids do that. kids will make you – you know, it's a constant battle of feeling old and young. Every now and then you're playing with them. You're like, oh, I feel like a little kid again. And then they say something you don't understand, and you're like, oh, I am old.
Or you try to stand up too quickly and go, oh, that's not working.
So. I know what you're saying. Now that I'm not really middle-aged, but almost there, you know, even though I look a lot younger, you got these – you get up and you're like, oh, I never had this plantar fasciitis before. My back hurts, but, you know.
Well, I think it happens, and I think it actually works opposite economically, though. Economically, we recover sometimes faster. When we don't think about that in a younger age, you think, oh, I recover faster because I'm young, I can get a job, I can do these things really quickly. But the level of experience and knowledge that you have compiled, I think that's why we see certain statistics where a large amount of really up-and-coming entrepreneurs or really successful entrepreneurs actually don't hit their mark until their 40s or 50s and oftentimes even in their 60s.
Well, for most entrepreneurs, I mean, remember, failure is not a bad thing. It takes a lot of effort and a lot of risk and a lot of trying before we actually...
Failure is like the greatest. Failure's great.
It is an important part of learning how to succeed is to understand that risk is okay and that failure is an okay process too, because you learn so much from that engagement, from you know, whether or not this was the right approach or the wrong approach. It just helps the individual know that it's okay to fail and that that's not the end of the game. It's just the beginning. You got to stand back up and keep pushing and trying and try something different. So, you know, that's what our coaches are there to help with. Our consultants are there to help with the, you may have failed three or four times. Let's help you succeed.
It's funny you keep using the terms. I know it's intentional, but you keep using the terms like coaches and things like that, because I work with a lot of youth sports. I'm coaching football this year. I've coached a lot of baseball in the past. I've coached a little soccer, and that's exactly the speech that we give to our players on the field as coaches in the sports world. We're constantly telling them, look, we don't want to lose. We want to succeed. But when we do, it's not a loss if we can find things to gain from it. We've got to find, okay, what did you do wrong? Great. How can we fix it? Instead of worrying about it. And that's, I think, the important thing that separates a lot of entrepreneurs from those who aren't, is that they say, okay, I failed, but how can I fix this? What can I do to not fail the next time or to prepare for that particular failure? Because I know another one is probably waiting down the road. And I think it's very easy to think that, to look at somebody that's successful in a business and think, oh, wow, they got it. They did it. They're there. They made it. Awesome. And most of the successful businessmen I know are some of the busiest people I've ever met. They do not have a single moment, because you have to protect your investment once you're there. There's always somebody else hungry that is going to kind of want to get in on that piece of the pie. So even when you're an established business, you haven't made it. You still need resources like the Sacramento Metro Chamber to keep up to date, to make sure you have the competitive edge, because hey, there's guys like me gunning for you, right?
Every day. And we know that. And you know, that's why it is a coaching. It is a matter of engaging folks, because what we can do is we can give you the tool sets. We can give you the opportunities to help you better yourself. But we can't make you do it, right? It's kind of like we compare chambers like the Metro Chamber to a gym membership. We can give you all the tools and facilities, but if you don't show up to use the membership, then really it's on you to make sure that you are doing what you should be doing to get yourself in shape and into the right business.
You're right, Peter. I need to do what I'm supposed to be doing. What I'm supposed to be doing is playing some commercials once in a while. So I got to stop you right there. We're going to play a few commercials, and then we'll be right back right here on the Hybrid Brokers Realty Show on Money 105.5.
From the Big Mountain Heating, Air, and Solar Traffic Center, Charlie Simons.
One of those trucks that hauls hay lost its load. Hay caught on fire. It's strewn all over 99 heading southbound. Big problems, major delays. 99 southbound. If you need to get to Elk Grove, you might want to think about I-5. Although at this point now, we also have an accident blocking the left lane at Sutterville Road on I-5. So just a lot of stop and go. 50 I-5 in the Capitol Corridor, Business 80, all because of these accidents on 99 and I-5 heading southbound. 99 heading northbound, we have an accident blocking the shoulder at Grant Line. You spot something you want to share with us, Lexus of Sacramento traffic tip line, 830-3077. I'm Charlie Simons.
We ask questions everywhere in life, except at the doctor's office. Any questions?
No.
Ask questions. For the 10 questions everyone should know, go to ahrq.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Have you ever thought you'd like to buy and sell houses but didn't know how or where to begin? Do you fear your job is in jeopardy, or is your business income reduction keeping you awake at night? We're in the best time in 25 years to make a fortune in real estate without using your money or credit. My name is Ron LeGrand, and I've taught 500,000 people to do just that and personally bought hundreds of houses myself. If you'll call 800-970-6156, 24 hours, and leave your information, I'll send you the first 500 callers my hot new CD, Foreclosure Fortunes, and my best-selling book to help you get started absolutely free. I'll show you how to build a six-figure income part-time with no previous experience and no license, even if you're a busy professional. Call 800-970-6156, 24 hours, and get my new book and CD free. That's 800-970-6156. Take your life back and make this your best year ever. Call 800-970-6156 now.
Hybrid Brokers Realty has everything you want in a brokerage without the high costs.
They even handle all of your marketing so you can focus on what you do best.
The Hybrid Brokers Realty model is designed to help support the growth of their agents and their community as well.
Hybrid offers revenue sharing and partnership opportunities to their agents while donating a percentage of all income to local charities.
It's time to join with a true local brand. Hybrid Brokers Realty, 916-696-6006. Take advantage of the opportunities waiting for you at wearehbr.com. BRE license number 01977652.
Money 105.5 and money105.5.biz.
The Hybrid Brokers Realty Show. Call Joe and Chris at 866-576-1055. Follow us on Facebook or email the show at hbrshow.com.
That's right. We have all those technologically advanced ways to get in touch with the show. We've been sitting here with Peter Tatishi right here on the Hybrid Brokers Realty Show discussing a little bit of everything, actually, but mostly keeping up with the times, keeping up with technology, how resources like the Sacramento Metro Chamber can help you, whether you're a new business starting out or an existing business that's been in the game for a while. They can help you to remain on that cutting edge of technology and just business practices in general. Technology is one that we usually think of when we think of cutting edge, but one of the statistics I read recently, or reports I read recently, was a lot of states are kind of trying to attract businesses by lowering taxes. Mm-hmm. A lot of communities are doing that, lowering taxes. But one of the biggest complaints for businesses isn't taxes. It's regulations.
Yeah.
The regulations are much more difficult to keep up with than the taxes. Taxes is a number. You adjust it, you increase inflation. But regulation can change the entire flow of your business. The entire structure of your business can be changed through certain regulations.
In certain situations, actually can put you out of business. And so at the end of the day, regulations really do have a major impact on businesses, whether they're here or in other states. But that's where the states who are who are being more kind and friendly, if you will, to businesses on the regulation side tend to be able to attract a lot easier than those who don't. And California tends to be on the more stringent side of regulatory processes here on businesses. And so it is that. And the problem with regulations, in all truth, is not that there are regulations. It's the fact that the regulations continue to evolve and change on a whim. And so as soon as a business gets used to, this is what I have to comply with, this is what I have to do, the regulations will change on them. And all of a sudden, there's new rules to the game that they have to comply with. And there's a cost usually associated with those things. And so that becomes very, very difficult. And regulations can come in the form of things like minimum wage. I mean, we just saw that with the new state increase in minimum wage, there's a bookstore out in Roseville that is no longer going to have a brick and mortar facility, but moved to just an online sales component, which means a loss of jobs.
I understand the story, and the minimum wage is affecting, but I have to say a bookstore going away from brick and mortar may have a little bit less to do with labor and a little bit – although the regulation probably is what – the nail in the coffin.
It was the nail in the coffin.
It was probably a nail in the coffin.
You know,
but
there's still a desire from a lot of people from the nostalgia, and my wife and I are one of those people who like to go to a bookstore on a Friday evening and actually wander, find a book, peruse through it. You can't do the same thing online. You really just can't run your fingers through the book and open it up and read it the same way.
I actually still prefer to read from an actual – I read a lot on screens with my regular job, even at home. In preparation for this show, a number of different things. I use my phone as one of probably the biggest screen I'm looking at all the time because it's basically a computer and I can do all my research and anything I'm looking into, even just normal things in life. Hey, what is that? Oh, I'll Google it and see what it is and use that as a resource. But I do, when I'm reading a novel or I'm reading something extensive where I'm going to be there for a while, I do prefer to have the pages between my fingers.
Well, and that's where there has to be that healthy balance because there's still a consumer product out there that likes to have an actual physical bookstore versus going online to just kind of read through summaries. It's a different experience. And so it's not about just having an online book, but it's about the ability to sit there, open the book, read a few pages, and be inspired to say, this is what I want to take home.
All right, you've sold me. The bookstore is still important. I'm sorry that I said what I did about the bookstore.
That was a key word.
It is the regulation that destroyed it. Well, which is fine. We're actually talking about that. The regulations and how they affect. And then also you said was this a small local
small
bookstore?
Local business. It was not a chain. It was just a small bookstore, and they had to make a choice as to how to comply, and at the same time and be able to stay in business.
And this is one of the interesting points I think about regulations. One of the things that we kind of shoot ourselves in the foot with. You see passionate people, or sometimes they're paid, out in front of a lot of the big stores that'll have their pamphlets. Sign on this. We need this. We need this. You know, we need to fix this. They use a lot of these larger corporations as sort of the poppy, the tallest poppy to pick on. We need this regulation because these horrible, big, giant, you know, conglomerates are doing this practice. When actually most of the time the regulation, it only makes them stronger. Because it wipes out their competition. It makes it more difficult for the little small businesses to compete because everyone has to follow the regulation.
That's exactly right. Regulations apply to everyone. And so at the end of the day, that big business that someone may be targeting, which I argue is not the evil giant corporation, but you know, for those who use that mentality, it's hurting all businesses out there. And so we have to be careful and mindful. Look, regulation in and of itself is not a bad thing. The question is whether or not it's over-regulated or if it's a constantly evolving regulation that makes it very difficult for compliance issues because most business people out there want to comply. But when you continue to change the rules on us every day or every year or half a year as we were seeing this year, we're having several changes to us on regulations, it makes it very difficult.
Coming up in December, we have another change.
Well, we have another wage increase for 50 cents here. In December 1st, we have a wage increase for overtime regulations by the Department of Labor from the federal government coming. I mean, we have these different changes that are existing. We have constantly evolving and changes to the Americans with Disabilities Act, which is a very important act. But at the same time, if businesses are not keeping on those regulations, it makes it very hard for compliance. And we need to know.
And you leave yourselves open.
You leave yourselves open every day. And, you know, my staff and I, we go through this all the time. You know, my job as president and CEO of the Metro Chamber is to, you know, help businesses out there. But from an internal standpoint, we're a business. And so I've got to manage the risk for my members to make sure that we're in compliance and we're minimizing the risk from claims against the organization. And so every other senior leader out there is having to do those things. And that means staying on top of regulations and changing climates and making sure we're in compliance.
I've had to tell guys at work, hey, you can't do that. I know that you want to. I know that it would help everybody and everyone would benefit. But I have to protect the integrity of the company. We have to make sure that we're in compliance, because while you're happy with us today, it could be somebody that I don't even know that finds out what I let you do that was seemingly innocent, but it puts the entire company at risk for a simple regulation. Now, you mentioned regulation is necessary, a certain level of regulation. We do need to monitor the regulation and where it comes from. I think one of the important things is why are we implementing a specific regulation? I think a lot of them are very, very too much idealistic. And when we're looking at, you know, certain regulations, I think you mentioned that are important are safety, certain safety regulations, making sure that you have guards on specific pieces of equipment, making sure that people are trained to operate certain equipment, not only for their own safety, but for the safety of innocent bystanders around them. There are certain standards that have to be met so that we're keeping. But we, like you said, the Americans with Disabilities Act especially, man, that's such a tough one to keep in regulation with. You can be out of violation with absolutely no intent of not being so.
Correct. And for the most part, they don't offer fixed periods. Most businesses, if you just tell them, hey, you're out of compliance, they want to find a way back into compliance. But the way that the law works right now is that we don't have fixed periods. So we're not able to just say, oh, well, we'll get that done. It becomes that, well, you were out of compliance, so I have the right to sue you at this point, which becomes these frivolous lawsuits in some situations. And that's where we have to be careful.
Yeah, I think all lawsuits are frivolous. That's another issue. I'm not going to pull the Metro into determining a stance on lawsuits and whether or not they're all frivolous. But
legal reform is an important issue as a platform, and we do agree with that. I mean, when we advocate for businesses, legal reform is one of those that we put out there. At the same time, you know, there has to be some right for the individual to be able to have recourse and redress if there are, you know, egregious situations. So, but, you know, at the end of the day, all of these regulations just become compounding and make it more and more difficult. I mean, you know, we don't have a thing called comp time in California really anymore for the private industry.
Here's one of the things on those also with these regulations is I mentioned the idealistic real regulations, environmental regulations for one, are generally idealistic regulations. Now, I'm not, whether you agree with the ideals behind them or not, they're not directly related to an immediate, a clear and present danger. You know, a guard on a saw is a clear and present danger. Somebody could take their arm off, so we're regulating the safety on that issue. When we're talking about the potential implications of smog or emissions and things like that, we're not talking about a necessarily clear and present and measurable danger to the public. So when we're dealing with something that is rooted in these ideals, and Chris, wake up. When I lose my train of thought, you're supposed to be there to pick me up. Now, when we get caught up in some of these idealistic regulations that are not based in safety, we lose our train of thought completely, Peter.
Here's an example of what you're talking about. And so Cal OSHA for a while was proposing new regulations on heat standards and safety, and they were talking about having access to fresh, clean, potable water, which is an important thing, and every employee should have access to that, especially if they're on a job site. But they use terminology that could be very difficult to actually enhance and could cause a safety problem. Prime example. It has to be within, they were looking at between 100 or 700 feet of an employee, has to be accessible to water or to shade. Well, here's the problem. The way they measure that could have been determined in the sense of, instead of just on a horizontal, which most people think of as a measurement of horizontal, well, that's easy to measure 100 to 700 feet, right? But what about when you're working on scaffolding? Because at the end of the day, the way that Cal OSHA measures it is vertical as well. And so here's the problem. You could be up three stories and have to get down, but be beyond the length. Well, here's what they were suggesting. Put water stations on scaffolding. That causes a safety concern, because when you put impediments on scaffolding where it's already dangerous to work, you are actually endangering the employee at that point to comply with the water policy.
Now you have two trains hitting each other head on, which is more safe.
It's a good idea in the sense that we want people to have access to water, but one size doesn't fit all, and we have to be, as government, if you will, as regulators, understanding a little bit more on that idea that one size doesn't fit all.
And I think that is most important. One size doesn't fit all. We don't want blanket regulations, whether they're in business, private life, or anything along those lines. And another thing we don't want is to lose our show, despite when I lose my train of thought. We still have sponsors. The station has sponsors. There's all kinds of people supporting the radio. And you know what? We're going to hear from them right now on HBR Radio Show, Money 105.5.
If you like sitting around the porch or dinner table sharing stories with friends, that's what we like to do here at Our American Stories. I'm Lee Habib, and each weeknight we bring to you stories about American love, funny stories about first jobs, this day in history, American dreamers and marriages, and even the stories of music and acting legends. I invite you to sit around the porch with us as we share our American stories.
Weeknights at 8 on Money 105.5. Listen live at money1055.biz.
Hybrid Brokers Realty has everything you want in a brokerage without the high costs.
They even handle all of your marketing so you can focus on what you do best.
The Hybrid Brokers Realty model is designed to help support the growth of their agents and their community as well.
Hybrid offers revenue sharing and partnership opportunities to their agents while donating a percentage of all income to local charities.
It's time to join with a true local brand. Hybrid Brokers Realty, 916-696-6006. Take advantage of the opportunities waiting for you at wearehbr.com. BRE license number 01977652.
Money 1055. Money1055.biz.
You're listening to the Hybrid Brokers Realty Show. Join the show by calling Joe and Chris at 866-576-1055. Follow us on Facebook or email the show at hbrshow.com.
We are sitting here with Peter Tatishi, the man, the myth, the legend. Now, he is the president and CEO of the Sacramento Metro Chamber. He joins us. He's kind enough to lend us an hour of his time each month and come in and discuss a lot of the things. Last minute segment, we were talking a little bit about regulation. We've gone over a little bit about technology and keeping up with that. All sorts of things, trending. And finally hit me. You know, last segment, I totally lost my train of thought. And it happens to you. It comes right back at you. And it just, like, all of a sudden everything lights up. Because we were talking about regulation, technology, keeping up with trends, things that change for businesses. And you were talking about how quickly things change. Businesses already have to deal with the market changing, the general public changing. We talked a little bit off air about McDonald's. And you mentioned a story to me, Peter, that McDonald's is actually starting to drop a little bit. Because I was saying, oh, people are immune to advertising now. They probably don't even need to advertise. And Peter corrected me, which he's very good at doing, and mentioned that McDonald's is actually dropping in market shares and looking for new ways to keep up. And it's you know, McDonald's, who would think? They're the great big giant. But 20 years ago, JCPenney was the great big giant. And
yep.
I don't see JCPenney's. I went to Reno a couple weeks ago, and one of the malls that I grew up as a kid, it's gone. There's nothing, not even the building. It is gone. It's just a giant vacant lot. And it's amazing how quickly. And that's not even that quickly, but we have this ever-changing marketplace. And then you throw in the regulations of each generation that are saying, hey, wait a minute, this is what's important. We need to regulate it. And it really is very difficult as a business to juggle that and keep up with that as a change as well.
You know, and at the same time, I mean, you called this actually the last time we were on the show. It was, I think, 4 days into the new Pokemon Go craze. And you were talking about it. In truth, we've had businesses right around us in Old Sacramento who are changing and adapting their hours based on when people are now coming out searching for Pokemon. And there were businesses who were initially against, folks coming in. And now everyone is putting, I'm going to use the wrong terminology here, I'm sure, but putting lures and other things out there to drive.
No, you're on it. Yes, hey, since right. I last talked to you, I'm a level 21.
Wow, you and my wife. So yeah. That's great. But it's one of those things.
It was research for the show, purely. That's the only reason I did.
I like it. And I'm sure my wife's the same way. But it's a great thing, though, that businesses are starting to adapt to, because they're realizing, 1,500 people are coming to Old Sac every night. maybe I should be open to accommodate those folks who are now wandering the streets of Old Sacramento searching for Pokemon. So, but that's those are the things that we can't anticipate. I don't know that any business, you know, 2 days before Pokemon Go launch knew that this craze would happen and that we would need to adapt and potentially change our hours and figure out how to capitalize on those things. But that's what good businesses do, is they look at those trends. And even in the moment, if this is just a short-term one, you can adjust hours to say, look, if there's 1,500 people coming down here and there are only three stores serving food, maybe I need to open during those hours to take advantage of.
And that's directly into a positive trend. You have other times when, you know, you have natural occurrences. You know, we're going to have a big event and we get nothing but rain.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another change where the Pokemon was a surprisingly positive change and an opportunity. Sometimes our opportunities are smashed by things outside of our control, like the weather. And I think that's why it's so important that we are careful about the regulations that we put on businesses, because they're already dealing with those X factors. We don't need to throw more wrenches in the works, because the businesses support our community. These nice parks and things that we want to enjoy, they come from people wanting to live here because they have jobs here and they have a means to support themselves and their family and the people that they care about.
The word is flexibility. And at the end of the day, businesses need flexibility so that they can adjust and adapt to, you know, changing environments based on what the consumer is looking for. But when we live in a very tightly regulated box, it becomes very hard to have flexibility. And that's what we continue to say when we're working with the state legislature or federal lawmakers in D.C. or even local city councils. Don't take away the flexibility.
I'm really happy you said little box, because I want to just bring something up different here. I'm going to change gears a little bit. I know that the Small Business Development Center at the Metro Chamber, if you really are interested in looking further into regulation and that sort of thing, go down and check out the Small Business Development Center at the Metro Chamber. They are going to be able to answer all of your questions and really help you to find the solutions to dealing with the ever-changing regulations within our marketplace. But you said, you know, when you're living and working in that small little box and that kind of thing, there's an author who's released a story recently. I just want to mention it because we are kind of a business show and we have this real estate focus. And Chris, you are an active realtor. You work in the real estate community. Did you hold any open houses this weekend?
Yes, I did. I held an open house for one of my listings for an investor on Sunday.
So have you ever heard of the elevator pitch?
Yes.
Okay, have you heard of the elevator pitch? Okay, so for anyone who hasn't heard of the elevator pitch, it's your 30-second prepared statement that when you've got 30 seconds to talk to somebody.
Icebreaker.
There you go. Well, it's less of an icebreaker, because this is the one where you're just going to kind of plant the seed.
Yeah.
You're getting your moment to throw your hook into them. You'll lure them in and get them a little bit later. It can be an icebreaker also, though. Well, there's a gentleman, if you read the Sacramento Business Journal. Sacramento Business Journal is an excellent online resource. Do they actually print out a paper copy?
Yeah, Fridays it comes out. So they have online editions all day, every day. But they do have a hard print
copy.
I'm
such a millennial. I got a magazine in the mail the other day, and I was like, what is this thing? I remember when these were all over my bathroom and all over the coffee table, and I have no magazines in my house anymore. So they do come out with a paper copy.
They do on
Friday.
Friday's edition.
Okay, well, I'm familiar with their online applications. I like to look at them online. And this month there's an article by Stevie Ray. And Stevie Ray wrote an article about how the elevator pitch, we need to get rid of it. And what he's saying is that they're showing in research that it's sounding far too rehearsed. Like last segment, I lost my train of thought there, right? I'm gonna call myself out on it. I'm fine. What he's talking about with improv is, part of the reason I lost my train of thought is because I thought I knew what I was going to say before I said it, and then I got myself off balance. What he's saying is, a lot of people think that going in with a script is the appropriate way to talk to somebody. He's saying go unscripted. That when you take an improv class, you don't want to work on a script. You actually want to play off the other person. One of the hardest things we do is listening to people. I've heard it on other shows, not necessarily this station. Other stations, I won't mention anybody in particular. But I've heard shows where you can feel like the host is not even listening to their guests. They're just saying key words like, okay, gotcha, whatever. They're just kind of throwing something out there.
Lack of connection.
Exactly. They're not listening to what their guest is saying. And what they're... A lot of those hosts that do that are salespeople. I found interesting. And what this gentleman is saying, what Stevie over at Sacramento Business Journal is saying, is that when you we need to listen to our clients instead of having a already ready to go script. Yeah. And so you're not really caring what they say. It can come off to a client as, hey, you're not really interested in me. You're just gathering quantity.
That's why we have two ears and one mouth, right? You're going to listen two times more than we speak and come back with, you know, the statement that pretty much handles their objections and answer all the questions at a time.
That's what my mom always told me. You got two ears and one mouth. I didn't listen. I was a talker. It took me a long time to learn how to properly listen.
Me too. I believe you.
And Peter, you're great at listening. You have to listen to so many people. I know.
We have 1,700 member companies and 135,000 employees. So, we do a lot of listening. But, the elevator speech is an intriguing concept because, you know, for us at the chamber, we're not a one-size-fits-all chamber. We do a lot of different programs and do a lot of different services. So it's
Do you guys
not,
offer improv classes?
We don't offer improv classes, but I will tell
that.
You.
You should look into finding somebody that teaches
I will give one plug to something that my eighth grade class made us do that I will tell you has improved my ability to have conversations, which was Toastmasters. Just being able to actually engage in conversations in the hot topics or even the speeches, but being able to engage in conversation is a lost art form with a lot of young people today.
One of the things that Stevie mentions is sitting in a room and having each person, you get about five or six people together, and you take turns. And one person is it, and each of the other people has to ask them in order, what do you do for a living? And they have to answer a different answer that has to be truthful. They can't make up their job, but they have to answer truthfully to each person a different way. And they said that most of the people kind of freak out. They go, oh, how am I supposed to do that? But that is what they're talking about with the improv. You're talking about things you already know about. You're relating the knowledge you already have. And they're saying it's pretty successful to do this little exercise because everyone asks you differently.
Right.
Not everyone uses the same exact words or the same exact
Well,
emphasis.
And when you're trying to talk to a customer or a client or a potential client, right, you really don't want to come across as you will fit into what I provide you. You want them to feel like, no, what we're doing is a relationship that's going to, you know, be able to benefit you and benefit me. But there's that a different level of connection that needs to be established. So, you know.
Yeah, they come in. They know that you're a business. Mm-hmm. You're there to make money.
Yes.
But they don't want to feel like you're just there to take their money. As a customer, I want to feel like you value me as a customer. I want to feel like you value not only my business, but me as a person. You know, that you're really there to assist me with money. Not necessarily when I'm getting a hamburger. I don't need that same kind of personal treatment. But if I'm buying a house or a car or anything else, I want to feel valued. And I'll tell you what, Peter, we value the time that you sacrificed to come down here from the Sacramento Metro Chamber and be on our show. If you want to learn more about how to deal with anything, regulation, make resources, go to the SacramentoMetroChamber.com.
.org.
SacramentoMetroChamber.org. Learn more about the Metro and find out about all the great mixers and different resources that you can take advantage of. And you can take advantage of our great show next week right here on Money 105.5. It's the Hybrid Brokers Realty Show.